Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As the presidential election draws near, Facebook is attempting to crack down on misinformation flourishing on its site. The social media site says it will now ban all political ads after November 3rd in an effort to keep groups from manipulating the authentic outcome of the election. And on Tuesday, it banned all pages related to QAnon, a fringe conspiracy theory that claims that sex trafficking elites are plotting against President Trump. But many are wondering, what took Facebook so long? For more, let's bring in Brandi Zadrozny, an NBC reporter who's been covering QAnon closely. Welcome, Brandi.
Thanks.
So we know Facebook took down hundreds of groups related to QAnon this week. Many groups, like the Anti-Defamation League, had actually been calling on Facebook to do this for a really long time. What finally prompted Facebook to take this action?
It's difficult to say what resulted in the final complete ban, but they've had a lot of pressure to sort of crack down on QAnon content because QAnon content has led to some violent episodes in the real world. You know, attempted kidnapping, a woman was found with a car full of knives, attempting to go get Joe Biden and, you know, take down the pedophile ring, and many, many other instances. So in August, they sort of took a step to say, okay, we're going to take down groups who actively represent QAnon and openly promote violence. And so they wiped out a bunch in August. And then, so now, you know, this week they took the added step and said, you know what, we're going to go further. We're going to take down all of the QAnon groups.
Okay, so QAnon has also been accused of co-opting other legitimate social movements. For example, using the hashtag Save Our Children to masquerade as a group who cares about stopping child sex trafficking as a way to draw in new followers. They've also been making inroads with parts of the health and wellness community. But based on this, how will the banning of them on Facebook actually work? How will the company be able to ensure they're not using more sophisticated tactics to continue on the site?
It's going to be a real challenge. I was in hundreds of QAnon groups just as part of my reporting, and almost every single one has been decimated by this ban. So what we'll see now is a lot of QAnon people who are really, really into it are going to move into smaller alternative social media platforms, but a great deal of them will probably just go back to their, you know, health and wellness, their yoga, their crunchy mom groups, and hopefully some of the worst parts of this conspiracy theory, the Save the Children ruse that you mentioned, will just sort of fade away. We really have to wait and see, but Facebook is really, they seem dedicated to this. And what we know is that there are a host of researchers and journalists and organizations like the ADL that you just mentioned who are really going to be watching what they do.
Can you give us a sense of just how many QAnon adherents there actually are? Some polls have put the figure at about 7%. Another researcher, though, Brian Schaffner with Tufts University, has actually pointed out that the QAnon conspiracy is so vast and convoluted, it could mean very different things to many different people, kind of to your point about where people will go now that they can't go to Facebook. He believes the true number of believers is probably lower, maybe 2%. What's your sense?
I'm probably more in the 2% bucket. I think, you know, QAnon is a conspiracy theory, but it's also sort of an umbrella conspiracy theory in which, you know, it also includes anti-maskers, COVID deniers, anti-vaxxers, you know, regular just sort of deep state Obamagate, you know, stuff that the president tweets would also be sort of under there. So I think it's a spectrum, but the true believers, the ones who are going to move on to those alternative platforms, that's really not that many people.
There's also been criticism of the media saying that we're basically reporting on QAnon like there's some new form of the Tea Party movement. But at the same time, we've never really seen a conspiracy theory quite like this before. I mean, for instance, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, who is running for Congress, promoted QAnon theories. Your thoughts as someone who's been covering this conspiracy theory so closely as we come up on Election Day, is QAnon being taken too seriously or not seriously enough?
I think it's a complicated answer, but I do think, just personally, I think the QAnon movement is incredibly important. It does make up a lot of the most passionate base of the Republican Party. And so a lot of the disinformation campaigns we're seeing going on online that we like to talk so much about, a lot of those have been organized and spread by the QAnon movement. And so it's important to understand what they believe and how they operate. But it's also important that we don't just point a camera on all of these people and try to make a sideshow out of them, because although this conspiracy theory is as old as time, what's new here is the algorithms and the technology and the social media platforms that allow it to spread. So what Facebook has done now, this clampdown, is really an important moment in the QAnon story.
Brandi Zadrozny, an NBC News reporter, will link you to her previous reporting on QAnon at hereandnow.org, and you can also find it at nbcnews.com. Brandi, as always, thank you so much for this conversation.
Appreciate it.